So we are halfway through our series of Discipled, and today is Love in Action, Serving Like Jesus. Craig preached number one, responding to the invitation. Andrew shared the second message, and that is admitting that we're overburdened, that we carry a heavy, we're heavy laden, and we're weary, and we come and we trade our yoke with him. There is now another facet to discipleship, and this one will ramp us in this process of growth of being discipled, and that is serving. Loving one another by serving like Jesus. We learn humility, compassion, his grace, and mercy because these things actually don't naturally come to us. So we learn them through him. When we put ourselves in a position in almost surrendering to service, and then we start to grow exponentially. Do you know that serving is a sign of maturity? You don't find many toddlers or teenagers, of course not mine, but you don't find many of them willing to serve. But that comes with maturity. It's adulthood, stepping into that thing. If you're a parent, you've got no choice. You have to serve. Just goes without saying. 1 John 3 verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." We can say we love others, but it is proved and shown and revealed when it is put into action by service. Helen Keller says, "Alone, we can do so little, but together, we can do so much." There's another saying that says, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together." So in our faith journey, we've got the same destination. We're aiming for the same point. Jesus showed many incredible examples in the New Testament of serving others, but there is one pertinent one that we're going to unpack today, and that's, of course, when he washed his disciples' feet. So it's from John 13, verse 1 to 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to pick out some parts through it. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that it was almost time that he was going to be crucified. So having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that beautiful? That evening, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already obviously provoked, spurred on Judas to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that God had put everything under his power, and that he had come from God, but had to return to God. So he got up, and he, during the meal, gets the towel, and then sits down, stoops down, and starts to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with that towel. Came to Simon Peter, who said, "Are you going to wash my feet?" And he said, do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." He says, "unless I wash your feet," this is very symbolic, friends, "unless I wash your feet, you can have no part with me." So then he says, "well, don't just wash my head and my feet, wash my head and hands as well." And Jesus said, "settle down, Peter." He didn't. He said, "those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Obviously thinking about Judas. When he'd finished washing their feet, put on his clothes, returned to his place, "do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set," verse 15, "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Very directive. So it's an incredible story, and it's an amazing example that he sets. The Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, he stoops down to wash their grubby feet. It's not only a display of humility, but it's also a powerful demonstration of service. In that culture, it was only the lowliest of servants that were meant to wash the guests' feet. Yet Jesus, the Master, the King of Kings, divinity clothed in humanity, did it for them. He was not washing their feet for physical cleanliness. Like I mentioned, it was a symbolic act. The context, obviously, of the day was that they traveled only by foot. They were very dirty. They were exposed to that dirt and grime. Their feet were so dusty when they would arrive at a place. But what that represents is the sin and the filth of the world that we pick up as we go out. And by washing their feet, Jesus shows his willingness to cleanse them and cleanse their sins. So no matter how dirty or sinful we feel that we are, this proves that he is willing to wash and clean. His act of service was not selective. He's impartial, friends. He washed all of his disciples' feet, including Judas. He knew he was about to betray him. But that also shows that Jesus' love and service extends even to those who want to hurt and harm him. Isn't that a great lesson for us to learn and think about? His love is unconditional, and his service not dependent on how worthy or deserving we are, or what our response will be after he has done that for us. He's not doing it to get anything. So this is so important for us, because we might struggle to serve people, okay? Perhaps someone we don't like, or we feel like we can't relate to, or maybe we just don't think that they deserve it. Jesus defies that by proving he pushed into the pain, and he did that. So his example challenges our attitude towards service, doesn't it? It's not our natural tendency. So here's some questions. Are we willing to serve one another even when it's inconvenient or going to be uncomfortable for us? Are we willing to serve those who may not appreciate it or reciprocate our service? Are we willing to serve without expecting anything in return? In God's kingdom, greatness is not measured by how many people serve you. It's measured by how we serve and love others. The world views power and wealth and status as what you need to attain to. But God values humility, love, and sacrifice. And this is made clear in this moment when he gets down on his hands and knees to wash his disciples' feet. He said himself, "No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Have you ever heard of the five love languages? Anyone familiar with those? I'm going to snapshot them for you. Think about what you like to do yourself personally and what you like to receive, okay? So here they are. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, giving and receiving gifts. So you must have fallen into one of those categories of that you know that you like to do or that you like to receive. So with Craig being away this time, and they were having 12 to 14 hour days, we weren't talking much. In fact, we didn't speak for the first 4 days outside of like WhatsApps that went like that and voice notes. And the one evening he said,
I know I really should phone you. I'm just so tired. I don't know if I've got the energy for it. So I realized that my love language that I like from Craig is quality time. He used to try and lavish me with Hallmark cards and he'd buy one to represent for each kid. I said, babe, I love these. They're so beautiful, but there's some paper in the printer. There's my colorful pens. Just scribble something on there and we can use that money towards chlorine and dog food. It's beautiful, but you know what? It's more sentimental when there's a handwritten note and it's drawn, and he's come to learn that. But the quality time, I said, right, that's what I'd like from him, because I felt like I was starved. My million word quota for each day that I have was like I had exponential amounts of that. I needed to let it out. I guess for me personally, I like words of affirmation, giving words of affirmation. I like acts of service. I love gift giving and stuff like that, and thinking about things in particular. And someone, in fact, two people today came and gave me a gift, and it was so beautiful because it was so thoughtful of something that I like. But that might be your language, your love language. Serving him and others and his bride impacts us in the most beautiful way, and it deepens our understanding of his example. It definitely grows when we understand our new nature creation, and it gives us something greater to live for than ourselves. That was the most beautiful thing that I realized when I gave my heart to Jesus, was that I wasn't the main character anymore. And it was such a relief. Oh my goodness, it was so exhausting to have the world try and revolve around you. And you suddenly realize, Jesus, you're the main character. And if I'm going to live this life, all I want to do is for people to be a reflection, that they get to see you and encounter you, Father. That is the most beautiful thing we could do. It's not about us. It's about other people, friends. It's a blessing to learn how to serve other people. When we understand the sacrifice, we realize it's not for acknowledgement. It's not doing to get, but it's doing to give, just as he set the example for us. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. I love this. I learned this many, many years ago. I would do things and I would think, this was even before we had kids, and I would think, Craig is going to be so proud of me. Like, I did this, or I cleaned up that whole thing, like literally with an old toothbrush, and it's just gleaming. And he is going to be so proud. Or I'd be behind the scenes expecting such praise and honor. And then I would realize, oh my goodness, he maybe didn't think it was as amazing as I thought it was. And I'd be so disappointed. But I found this scripture, I'd say maybe 20 years ago, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes I'll be doing something and it'll be exhausting and I'm feeling like I'm putting it out from the depths of my soul. And I go, you know what? Lord, you see this. This is an act of service for you. It is an honor to be doing this, whether it's for my household, whether it's here at the venue, wherever, whatever, it's for you. And it's such a pleasure. Thank you. Shame Craig's act of service that he used to like to do was washing dishes. And then we got a dishwasher near the end of last year, albeit secondhand, and it's now started packing up. So he is just angling to reclaim his position at the sink, and I'm going, but I don't know, I can't. We can't go back. This dishwasher is just, we can't. Shame. So I've got two quick points, and then we're done, and we can eat a whole lot of cake. Number one, blessed to be a blessing. Serving others is not a duty, friends. It is a privilege. It is an honor. It is a gift. It is something that we will be blessed, more blessed by doing than they will be. The one who serves is more blessed than the one who receives. This principle of giving is actually highlighted by Paul. It's in Acts 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, Don't be scared of hard work. We must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, which he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Who agrees with that? Jesus teaches these deep truths of the essence of our new nature creation because he knows the benefit, not just for the person who's receiving it, but for us who are doing it. The impact of serving is so profound. To serve others not only meets an immediate and very practical need, okay, but it also demonstrates God's love in a tangible way. The effect on people when we serve them makes them know that they are cherished, that they are loved. It softens their hearts and opens their minds to receiving Jesus and the gospel. It disarms them and opens up a channel, builds a bridge. And when we serve others, of course, we're serving Christ. After Mother's Day, I had an invitation to, I'd like to call it our more senior life group, but let's call it our more wise life group. They meet during the day, Merv and Estelle's life group, and they invited me there just to honor me for Mother's Day. And I had a woman, I'm just a mom, she's a grandmother, on her hands and knees, washing my feet and then massaging them with oil as the whole life group prayed blessing over us as a family. What an absolute honor. They gave me a beautiful gift, a nightgown and pajamas and beautiful slippers and really just lavished me. But you know how I felt? Loved and cherished. It was worth it. But they were beaming because they were more blessed than even I was. Isn't that incredible? Matthew 25 verse 40 says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Serving is literally a win-win situation. Can I invite you quickly, if you are a part of the dream team anywhere, from the street to the seaters, the welcomers, the coffee tea, if that's you, can you quickly stand up? We want to applaud you right now. Anything, you do anything around you. Woo! Well done. Well done. Bless you guys. Bless you. Thank you. You know, when we serve others, it takes the focus off ourselves. And then it shifts it onto the needs and desires of other people. And it helps us perpetuate an attitude of Christ-likeness, which is selflessness and humility. Selfish versus selfless. We can choose. We get an understanding and appreciation for his grace, his love and his mercy, and being able to outwork it physically with what we have to offer to others when we serve them. Listen to these incredible things that happen when we serve. We build connections with people. We break down barriers. We build bridges of understanding and compassion. It leads us to stronger, more meaningful relationships, not only in the church, but in our wider community. Like we always say, it's not about us within these four walls. Our reach is actually aimed and intended for out there. I want to thank the team who came yesterday. It was incredible. All these balloons didn't get blown up all by themselves. Okay, thanks to Lee's little blow-up machine that she's got. But the whole team that was here yesterday, it was incredible. And it's a blessing for all of us. For those of you who baked your cakes and biscuits for today, I commend you. Thank you. We get to show others this tangible love of Christ through service. The question shouldn't be, why should I serve? It should be, where could I serve? Point number two, motivated by love. Christ shows this motivation for serving others is love. John 13 verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that fierce? His love for his disciples wasn't a fleeting emotion. It wasn't just because he was having a good day. It wasn't just because he was feeling generous and kind. But it was an exhibit of steadfast commitment that led him to serve them in this most humble way. This love is not dependent, like I mentioned earlier, on the disciples' actions. or responses, even knowing that Judas would betray him, did not put him off and did not stop him. He still washed his feet. And in that shows us our motivation to serve shouldn't be based on that either. It's not about what we're going to get in return or how others may respond. Our motivation should simply be love and obedience. If it's on your heart, it's on his heart. If you're moved to do something, it's simply because he's moving you to do it. Is it a good idea or is it a God idea? Like I've said before, if you're feeling to do something, act in obedience. Act with that small bit of faith and you might be just fulfilling the mandates of heaven. In fact, I'm telling you, as a fact, you will be fulfilling a mandate of heaven. That's how he operates. Might seem small and meaningless. Might be a small little thing. I gave someone on Tuesday night. I bought a little magazine picture. I felt a prophetic word for her and her son. A picture out of a magazine. I messaged her. I said, are you here? She said, yes, I'm here. I said, don't leave without seeing me. And gave her this thing. And I said, this is what I feel God is saying this to you through this little piece of paper. Let him speak through you. Be obedient. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 11 to 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There we go. That's it. If we love one another. Colossians 1 verse 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. How are we going to respond, friends? What is our response? We get to follow the example of Christ, humbling ourselves and serving those who are around us. We get to give up our old lives, which I don't know about you, were incredibly myopic and extremely self-revolved and self-centered. We get to give that up, get this new nature creation, and get to partner with him and outwork these beautiful things as we become more like him. So Jesus understood his identity and his mission. He knew that he'd come from God and he knew he was going back to God. And he knew that all power had been put under him, but he still chose in that incredibly powerful position to humble himself. He chose to use his power to serve others. So this teaches us, friends, that we can also serve others with humility. It's not that we're inferior. We're not taking a lowly position because we don't think less of ourselves. We're just thinking of ourselves less and thinking of others more. We can be secure in our identity as children of God, knowing that serving was his mission, so therefore it's a part of our mission because we have the same identity as him. So Jesus gave us the greatest example ever known, that he willingly gave his life, hung on the cross so that we could have eternal life. So he didn't just tell us that he loved us. He showed us that he loved us. He didn't just tell us to serve. He showed the essence of what it was to serve, even to death. So friends, let's think about this. How can we serve others in this coming week? Neighbors, our co-workers, those who are beyond these four walls, of course, serving one another, this is where we start. But those people beyond us who maybe don't know Jesus yet and who are going to get to encounter him through us, people who deliver stuff, baristas, the bank tellers, school teachers, our gym trainers, whoever, people at the gym, surrounded. In this world, we are surrounded by people who need a touch of heaven. They are desperate. They are hungry, and they need to experience the love of Jesus. Let's find ways that we can show up for these people. Let's talk to them. Let's try and identify an area that we can bless them in.
so they get to have a touch of heaven through you. Do you know that you have that? You carry that? You have the same spirit inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. Of course you can bless someone and let them see Jesus through you. Let's look how we can use our time, treasures, and talents to bless others, expecting nothing in return and freely giving. Pumla, is Pumla here? Someone please call Pumla. This is very quick. Yes, Skonza, I think she's in the back there. Is she there? So, of course, our birthday is on the 29th of May, but we're celebrating the party today, which is the 31st of May. Today is Pumla's birthday. Woo! This is an example. I thought of this as a real life example. This is an incredible woman. She's been working for us for well over a decade as our personal domestic worker, and she's been working here at Grace Life. She's a part of the fabric. She's helped in our child minding. It's incredible. She's an amazing woman. She's an amazing mother. And she's an incredible grandmother. And she works on behalf. This is a servant-hearted woman. And I just felt to honor her today as a real-life example. So we can have a glimpse into this. So, Pumla, here's your birthday present. And we want to honor you with this picture. Her daughter just graduated. So we've got this beautiful picture. That's it. So, happy birthday, Pumla. We celebrate you. We thank God for you. We thank God for the small things, the small details that you do. You go above and beyond, and you're a blessing to us. So we get to celebrate you today. Awesome. Bless you, hey. Bless you. We were chatting the other day, and she said, I get to eat so much cake on my birthday. On my birthday, I get to eat so much cake. You see, friends, we get to have this opportunity. That wasn't a good idea. That was a God idea. He wanted to honor her because he loves her so much. How can you honor people? Who does he want to honor through your life? But it's going to mean reading between the lines and not just being so focused on the queue as we're leaving the shops. What am I cooking for dinner? Where am I going? What am I doing? What's this? Where? What? It's just lifting our eyes just a little bit and seeing what he sees in other people, that act of service. Can I invite you in standing, please, friends? If that's you, I want to invite you to join me. I'm putting my hand up in this area of service. Do you want to share something?
Just want to, before Doran prays for us, Galatians 6 verse 8 says, let us not become weary, which means tired or kind of exasperated, just weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as a time arises or in a specific time, let us do good to all people in the queues, shopping centers, at work, whatever we're doing in this life. Excuse me? Wait, no, you don't have the mic. Therefore, as we have opportunity to good, let us do good to all people. Now listen to this one. Especially, to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's do good to everyone around, outside these four walls, but especially to the family of believers. There's a reason why Paul wrote that in there, because God has a special place in his heart for his bride. And he loves it when we show her attention. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Dawn's going to pray for us for a second, but here's a few opportunities. The opportunity arises. Where's an opportunity for you right now? Worship team, parking team, the kids ministry check-in team, the Bean Redeem coffee team, security team, connection card team, setup and breakdown team, and the hosting team. Do good to the body of Christ by putting your hand up. I personally didn't really look around when Dawn said, who's serving? And if you were staying seated, I want to tell you now, here's an opportunity for you to do good, especially to the household of believers. We need you. Amen? So I want to encourage you, after the meeting, come see Ryan or someone in the front, say, I want to serve. I want to do good to the body of believers because God has called us to do that. Amen. The whole gist of serving is that we can grow, as Dawn said, you know, serving out there, but also especially serving in here. Well, we can't really serve out there, in my opinion, if we don't know how to serve in here. Amen. Thanks, babe.
So if that is you, if you want to ramp up, activate area of service in your life, in your community, at Grace Life, everywhere, in your household, in your workplace, if that's you, and you want your hands and feet to be used for the purposes of God, because you understand your mission, why don't you join me in putting your hand up? Father, we would just want to repent for when we have been so self-revolved and wanting accolade from man. We see that this is such an honor. We're not just serving man, but we are serving you. Your eyes are on us. When we're behind the scenes, washing out the toilets, cleaning up, washing dishes, or making sure that the tea and coffee are set out, Father, and no one's around, God, your eyes are on us, and your heart is brooding over us, and it beats for us, and your gratitude just flows from heaven, because you know that we're doing this for you. So we thank you, Father, that your gratitude is enough for us. Activate us in these areas of service. Open our spiritual eyes and help us be obedient, that we would activate in these areas, that people would get to see you, that we would be able to be blessed to be a blessing, and they would be able to see you glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you that we are motivated by love and we're on mission with you in Jesus' name. Amen.